Well, good to be with you tonight, and appreciate you folks coming out. It's always good to be in the house of the Lord, amen? And always good to get to fellowship with one another. I think it's so important that we attend every opportunity we get. This world's getting to be a scary place, isn't it? And I'll tell you what, it just points more and more to the fact that the Lord's coming back soon, and we are challenged to be in the house of the Lord, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need church more and more every week. And I mean to tell you, the closer we get to the Lord's return, the more we need the house of God, but it seems like the less that people want to go. And it just doesn't add up. So I appreciate you being here tonight, and I trust that the message somehow will be a blessing to you. The Lord will speak to each and every one of our hearts. I encourage you to take a look at the table back out there, the book table. Maybe there'll be something back there to be a help to you. Why don't we take our Bibles and go to John chapter 14 tonight? John chapter 14. I appreciated that special. You don't hear that song too often anymore. And I think the reason you don't hear it real often is folks don't like what it says. Toiling on, toiling on. I mean, nobody wants to work for the Lord. Amen. But I appreciated that. That was a blessing. John chapter 14. How many of you remember Paul Harvey? Most of us, I think, remember Paul Harvey. He was a blessing. I'll tell you what, he was a bright spot in America. We lost a lot when we lost Paul Harvey, but I believe we'll see him again. I believe he's in heaven tonight. But I used to enjoy hearing the news that he would bring to us in the mornings, but then come afternoon, if you remember, or at least where I was, northeast Ohio, up around Cleveland, that we would have, I think it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he'd come on, and about 15 minutes, he had what he called the rest of the story. And he would give you details about something that maybe you knew a little bit about but didn't know the background. And the background was so interesting, and he'd make it so exciting. You know, you just want to hear the rest of the story. And I did such a good job of that. And I got to thinking as I was looking through the Word of God and the subject I want to look at tonight. And I saw, you know what, God has the rest of the story. And so I borrowed Paul Harvey's title there, and we'll call the title of the message tonight, The Rest of the Story. Well, if you have John chapter 14 and you're able, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word this evening out of respect and reverence for God's Word, John chapter 14. Well, it's the second time I got stung this week, believe it or not. I got stung working on the building up in Upper Sandusky, and a bee just stung me on the thumb. One of these kids, the kids were running around collecting wasps before, and they missed one. Well, anyway, I'll live. I'll make it. John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know, the Lord says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he has gone to heaven to prepare us a mansion, to prepare a place. And I'll tell you what, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. Are you looking forward to that tonight? I am. I'm looking forward to what he has for us. And he tells us not to be troubled. A lot of reason to be troubled today, but if you stop and think of what God has for us, you stop and think about what the future holds, there's really no reason to be too upset as long as you're ready to go. Amen? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for what you've done in our lives. Lord, I thank you for saving us. I thank you for the hope of eternal life. Lord, I thank you for the mansions that are waiting for us in heaven. Now, God, I pray that you would take full control of the service tonight. Speak to each and every heart. Lord, there could be somebody here this evening that does not know the way to heaven. And Lord, I pray that this would be the night of their salvation. Lord, I need you. I pray you'll help me, fill me, Lord, empower me, and use me tonight. God, I just want to be a blessing to these folks, and I can't do it without you. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, he talks a little bit about heaven, and he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. Well, I'll tell you what, I can't imagine what it's going to be like. He says, if it weren't so, I would have told you, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. He says, I'm going to come again. I'm going to receive you unto myself, that where I am, where he is in heaven today. He says, we can be there as well. And I get to thinking about that and what he tells us about heaven. And oh, my goodness, it's unbelievable. I don't think the human mind can really comprehend what heaven's going to be like. We read about the streets of gold. And no potholes in heaven, amen. Golden streets, unreal, and the gates of pearl, walls of jasper, and just it's amazing. The mansions. I don't know about you, but I'm satisfied with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransomed will shine, I want a gold one, that silver line. Sing it with me. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. And someday yonder we will never more wander, but walk on streets that our purest gold. I just can't comprehend it. You know, I mean, how beautiful heaven must be, sweet land of the happy and free, fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be. And folks, it's for us. He did it all. He's made it all for you. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. Now, at that time, he said, in my Father's house are, present tense, are many mansions. I mean, there were already mansions there. But he says, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. For 2,000 years, he's been preparing us a place. Look what he did in 7 days. 2,000 years, he's prepared. And I believe when it's just the way it ought to be, when everything is just right, the Father's going to say, all right, son, go get your bride. And he's going to head back down here, and we're going to hear that trumpet sound, and up we go. And that place, our eternal home, will be ready for us. And unbelievable what he has prepared for his children. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, and beginning in verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Now, when he's talking about sleeping, he's talking about we're not all going to have to die, okay? But we are all going to be changed. And he goes on, explains, he says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. All right, so he said we're all going to be changed. Well, the dead, they're going to be changed. He said the dead are going to rise, and they're going to be incorruptible. Now, the dead have corrupted. All right, they've corrupted real bad. You and I are corrupting too. All right, at least I begin to feel it. The older I get, the more I feel this body starting to fall apart. And the problem is these bodies wouldn't do well in heaven. Can you imagine going to heaven with this body? All right. And getting up there and the body wears out, and let's say it only makes it, I mean, at best, maybe makes it 100 years. But you got a mansion, you got a home that's supposed to be for eternity. But the body wore out. That just something wouldn't be right about that. It wouldn't be fair, would it? So the Lord says, no, you're not taking this body. Now, I'm going to change the body, and I'm going to give you a body that's going to last forever, just like your eternal home. And you'll be able to enjoy it forever. So it's got to be changed. This body wouldn't do us any good in heaven. I mean, this body would really ruin heaven. It would corrupt the whole place. And God's not going to allow that. So he says we're going to be changed. And then in verse 53, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So this corruptible body and the bodies of those that have already died, you know, that corruption's got to be taken care of. It's got to be removed. And mortal, you can't have a mortal body in an eternity. So we have to put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the victory he's talking about is a victory over death and over corruption. I mean, wouldn't it be nice if there was somehow you could maybe take a pill? I mean, they advertise them, but I don't believe it. Take a pill that could make you young again. You know, the fountain of youth, if it was for real. And, you know, you could just, you know, kind of dip in it, and boy, you'd just feel young again, and the joints don't ache, and the knees don't pop and crack. Somebody said, it was great. Somebody mentioned this evening when they walked in. I don't remember which one of you it was, but they came in, they says, you know you're getting old when you wake up in the morning and you hear snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your breakfast. Who was it that said that? That was good, brother. That was great. Wouldn't it be nice if there was something you could take where you didn't hear that snap, crackle, pop anymore in the mornings, you know? And sometimes I hear it all day long. You know, it's not a good sign. It's not. But hey, victory is something that'll work. And I'm never going to get old. The body's never going to wear out. It's going to last forever. It's never going to die. No doctors, no hospitals, no hearses, no morticians, amen, no graveyards. We're going on. That's a victory. I mean, that's a victory big time. And he says we can have that victory. And by the way, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that victory is yours. Amen. And I like a victory. I don't play to lose. I play to win. I know that's not politically correct. I'm sorry. I play to win. I like to play Monopoly. But my kids, they don't want to play Monopoly with me because I play to win. Now, we might be playing at 2 or 3 in the morning, but I'm going to win. You know, and they know I'm going to win, so they don't want to play anymore. My wife doesn't want to play with me. Anybody want to play Monopoly? But hey, I like the victory. Well, he promises us victory over death. And glory to God, we're going to be changed, get our new bodies, what a blessing that's going to be one of these days, not too far away. Go with me over to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. See what we can find over here. Chapter 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, as we mentioned, those folks that have already died, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Now, we all sorrow when we lose a loved one, but you and I don't have to sorrow like some folks do, because we know we're going to see him again. Amen? That's what he's talking about here. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, I believe that, do you? It says, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now that word prevent just means we're not going to be before them. Okay, we all know what an event is. Okay, a prevent would be before the event. Okay, so when the trumpet sounds, we're not going up before them. They're going up before us. That's all he's saying there. And then he says in verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Now, glory to God, when that trumpet sounds, we're going up and we're going to meet one another. We're going to see our family. We're going to see our friends, those that have gone on before us, and those which are sleeping. We're going to see them. They're going to be awake again. It's going to go something like this. I mean, when we die, when Grandma and Grandpa died, okay, their bodies were buried in the ground. All right, but immediately at the time of their death, their spirit went on to be with the Lord. Their soul and spirit went to heaven. All right, now folks that are lost when they die, immediately their soul and spirit goes to hell. All right, but the body's in the grave. Now we're talking about the body here. When that trumpet sounds, and we read over in 1 Corinthians about the body being changed, that body comes up out of the ground, it's changed, it's made an incorruptible body that's situated and suited for heaven, and our bodies are changed, and we go up and we get to meet one another, or we're going to be with each other, again, be reunited in heaven, for all of eternity. I mean, that's going to be tremendous, and we're going to hear that trumpet sound. Now, by the way, if you've never been saved, you won't hear the trumpet sound. But those of us who are saved, we're going to hear it, and we're going up. Now, if you've never been saved, and suppose the Lord came tonight, and you might be the only one in here. Remember, turn the lights out when you leave, all right? You'd be the only one. That'd be terrifying. I can't imagine. I can't imagine being the only one left behind and realizing that everybody else has gone to heaven. But this is going to happen, and we are going to be reunited. And notice what it says here. I mean, it's going to be great to see family, and I'll get to see my little brother for the first time. I got a brother that's in heaven today, and I've never seen him. He never even got a name. But I'll know him. Amen. I'll know him. His grave marker just says Baby Black. And they never gave him a name. But I'll see him one day. And you know, that's going to be special. But notice what it, look at verse 17 again. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them," with those that have died and have gone before us, "caught up together with them in the clouds." And it doesn't say to meet Uncle Fred and Aunt Susie and Grandma and Grandpa. It says with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." I mean, folks, one day, you and I, we hear that trumpet sound, we're going up, and we will have the opportunity to meet face to face. I hope you've talked to him today. But to meet him face to face, the one who hung on a cross and gave his life for you and I, we will actually see him. Oh, I hope you thank him for saving you. But to be able to thank him in person, wow, to meet our Savior. Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? Face to face I shall behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. What a day that's going to be when we see our Savior. And he tells us, he says, He says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And folks, there is so much comfort and encouragement knowing that we're going to see our loved ones again. We're going to see our Savior. And it's all come. And we know it's soon. Hey, have you listened to the news lately? I mean, it's soon. He's coming back so soon. But let's look at the rest of the story. Chapter 5, verse 1. It says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. We know that. We know the seasons. The Bible tells us we can know the seasons. We can't know the day. Some folks have said, well, I believe it. You know, the Lord's coming back. You can count on it. He's coming back on such and such a day. No, he's not coming back on that day. Because he said nobody knows the day. And nobody knows the day or the hour. But you know the season. And he says, now I shouldn't even have to touch on this. You'll know the season. You'll know when it's time. He says in verse 2, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now you can't tell me what night the thief is coming. And I can't tell you what night the thief's coming to your house. You're not going to know that. But one thing you do know, when you go home and you find that the home's been broken into, it's devastating. It's devastating. For when they shall say peace and safety, and you hear a lot of that today, oh, don't worry about me, preacher. Don't worry about, oh, hey, I don't need church. I don't need God. I'm all right. Everything's fine. I got some money in the bank. I'm okay. I don't need that stuff. I'm all right. I'll go to heaven. It's okay. Leave me alone. Peace and safety. When they say peace and safety, it says, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. By the way, if you've never been saved here tonight, don't you tell me that, well, if that trumpet sounds and you guys are all missing, I'll just come down to the altar and get saved. No, you won't. They shall not escape. If you're left behind, it's too late. It's too late. You're not going. You're not going. No, it'll be a terrifying experience. It'll be a terrifying experience. Now we get excited about what we've read here. We get excited about the comfort that we have and about meeting the Lord and meeting our families and all. But the rest of the story is that while we're shouting it out and having a great time and kicking up our heels on the streets of gold, there's going to be some folks back here that are having a pretty rough time. Can you imagine? I mean, we see what happens when, let's say, a bus, something happens and there's an accident and a lot of folks are killed and many more injured and a collision or something, or a bus goes off an incline and down the mountainside and I mean, it's all over the news. Or a plane goes down and 100 people lose their lives. Hey, on that day, there'll be Christian bus drivers in every city across America. There'll be Christian pilots all over the skies. Can you imagine the chaos on that day? I mean, it'll be everywhere. I imagine the lights will go out in a lot of places because there were Christians working down at the power plant, and they're gone. I can't imagine the devastation and the heartache and the sorrow that'll be here. And you and I are having a great time, but look what's left. Yes, get excited about the great time. Get excited about meeting the Lord. Get excited about meeting our families and everything. But the rest of the story is there are some folks that while we're having a good time, they're going to meet a terrible time. It'll be a horrible time and just unbelievable. You see, we got to look at the rest of the story. Sudden destruction will come upon them. Go with me back to 1 Corinthians again. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we get charged up about victory. I got victory over this one. Hey, no doctor's going to get the last word this time. I know I've got eternal life, and I'm going to be free from all my aches and pains, and that trumpet's going to sound, and this corruptible's going to put on incorruption, and this mortal's going to put on immortality, and glory, 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 amen. But let's look at the rest of the story. Verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, or in other words, look at the rest of the story. The rest of the story is, hey, we know the Lord's coming back. We know He's coming, and we have the victory in Christ. Amen, glory to God. But because we know these things, be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Now, I think the average Christian today, when they come to church, they walk through those doors and they look around and they say, "Yeah, friendly people, nice church. I think I'd like to be a part." I think a lot of them, and Pastor, I'm not sure, but I imagine a lot of them come to you and they say, "Pastor, what are the minimum requirements for membership? You know, how often do I have to come to be an active member of the church?" I mean, it just seems like that's the attitude of the average Christian today, isn't it? You know, well, what are the minimum requirements? That's not abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen. Abounding means, can I do some more? Is there something else I can do? Is there some other way I can be involved in God's work? I'll be in every service. Give me a pack of tracts. I want to go out and hand out some tracts. I'd like to go on visitation. Can I join the choir? Can I sing a special? Can I play an instrument for the glory of God? I mean, what can I do? How can I get involved? Can I go downstairs and help with the children? Can I teach a class? Can I mow the lawn? How about shovel the snow? It's coming, folks. What can I do to be involved in the work of the Lord? Because we know what's waiting for us. That ought to motivate us. Therefore, because you know these things, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. I mean, this is not just an occasional thing. This is not just once in a while. I feel like I'm going to be steadfast today and I'm going to be unmovable. No, that's not steadfastness. Steadfastness is the preacher knows you're always going to be in church. And if for some reason you can't come, he's going to get a phone call. Hey, Pastor, I'd be there, but man, I'm sick. You know, I got a problem. I had to go out of town, so you won't see me Sunday. But where do you find that kind of character today? I hope we have it in this room, but it's not the norm. It's not the norm. No, knowing what we know ought to motivate us. It needs to motivate us to be steadfast and unmovable and abounding. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Abounding. That's an abundance of work, folks. That's doing all we can do. Now, sometimes we say, well, you know, Brother Black, I can only do something. Well, do what you can do. Get involved. Let's do something for God. Well, I can't sing. That's all right. I beg to differ with you. I think you probably all could sing. All right? And you might say, well, you wouldn't like my voice. Well, don't sing for me. Sing for Him. The Lord's the one we sing for. We sing for the Lord. And by the way, I'm going to get on a hobby horse for just a minute. don't you tell me that my voice isn't good enough to sing. If you, why don't you tell God, God, you goofed up when you made my voice. God, I'd sing for you, but I don't think you'd like it. You messed up on me. Don't you tell God He made a bad voice when He made yours. He wants to hear your voice. He's not so concerned about what it sounds like. He's concerned about a heart that wants to sing for Him. He's concerned about somebody that wants. Don't you worry about who's around you. Just sing out for the glory of God. Amen. Hey, well, find some way that you can work for God and get involved in the work of God. I like what he closes out with in that verse. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You've got this one thing that you can count on. When you get up to sing, it's going to be a blessing. Because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When you go hand out gospel tracts, God will use it. your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I'll never forget a fella that I knew was in my church when I pastored up in Michigan. He had gotten a gospel tract. Somebody handed him a tract. And I think he was at the gas station. Somebody handed him a tract. And he wasn't too interested. And he just tossed it on the dashboard of his pickup truck. Well, later on, his son was with him. And his son jumped in the passenger side of the truck. You know, they're going down the road. And his son saw that paper up there. I wonder what that is. He picked that up and looked at it. His dad says, "Hey, read that. You need that." And so he did. He read it. He got saved. Glory to God. Today he's preaching the gospel. He took that. He read that tract. Now somebody thought, my labor is in vain. That guy didn't read it. He just threw it down. Oh, no. God used that. God, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That boy read that tract, become a preacher, come back, led his mom and dad to the Lord. Let the dad that told him you need that, dad needed it too. didn't realize it. Led his dad to the Lord, now he's preaching the gospel. Whole family saved in church. Glory to God. Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I mean, if you'll serve God, God will bless it. God will honor it. Whatever you do for Him. Folks, we got to get busy for the Lord. Well, you know where we're going. Go back to John chapter 14. John 14 talks about heaven. Let me just read it again. John 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, did you ever wonder why Thomas asked the Lord? Why Thomas says, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" You ever wonder about that? Some might say, well, he was doubting Thomas. He had a reputation for that. He doubted. They'd been taught this earlier, but he's just kind of one of those doubting guys, you know. And that, well, maybe. But I really believe that the reason that the Lord put it on Thomas's heart to ask that question is the Lord wanted an excuse to give us the rest of the story. Yes, there are mansions in heaven. Yeah, there's a place prepared for you. But if you don't know the way, you're not going. You got to know the way. And Jesus says, and I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. And nobody's going to get to those mansions. Nobody's going to see the Father. Nobody's going to heaven unless they know the way. And I'm the way. You see, hey, heaven's a wonderful thing. But the rest of the story is you've got to know the way. You've got to know. You know, mansions are wonderful, but Jesus is the only way, folks. There's no other way to get to heaven. I kind of liken it this way. You know, think about this for a minute. Can you just picture in your mind? Somebody, husband and wife, a young couple. Finally, they've got come into some money and a good job, whatever. We're gonna build our home. We're gonna build that dream home we've always wanted. And so they go down to the builder and they say, "We would like to have a brand new home." And the builder says, "Okay, I can help you. We do that." All right, he's grinning from ear to ear, you know. They're gonna build a home. And, well, what do you want? Well, I don't know. Show us what you got. And he shows them a stack of plans, different blueprints and pictures of different homes and takes them down the road and they walk through a model home and then they go and they look at another model home and boy, these are nice. And the wife, she turns to the husband and says, I think I'd like this one. I'd want like one with like this. And they ask the builder, "Do you think you could build us one like this? And we would really like just a little bit different. This one room, could we have this room a little bit bigger?" And over here, could we make a little change here and kind of customize it just a little bit for us? I mean, I think this might help us here, and we'd like a few more cupboards here, and sure, we can do that. We can do that. And so they agree on a price, and they get out the checkbook and they write a check, and they give them the money down, the down money that they need to get started on the project, and they start building the home. Oh boy, they're so excited. Our new home is coming. Now, it takes a while. It takes a while to build a home. But eventually, one morning, they get a phone call. Hey, you need to come down and pick out your paint and paint colors and your carpet. We're just about done. The drywall's going up, and we're going to be painting soon. What color do you want? Oh, boy, they go on down there, and they go through all the samples, and they look at the paint charts and everything, you know, and they pick out the carpet they want. They pick out the paint, and I mean, it's coming together. It's coming together real, real well and wonderful. So it's just a few more weeks, and before you know it, I mean, here they get a phone call. Your home is ready. Wow, it's exciting. So they grab the checkbook, they run down to the builder's office, and the builder says, I've got your keys right here. Everything is done. We went through it last night, tidied everything up, and it's just waiting for you. It's just what you ordered. They sign the check for the final payment. They hand him the check. They take the keys. They go out. They jump in the car, and oh boy, we're going to go see our new home. And he puts it down in reverse, backs out, and, did you get the address? Do I go that way or that way? I didn't find out where it was. Did you catch where it was? Now, the keys are great, but if you don't know what door they open, you don't know where the house is. Not going to do you a whole lot of good, right? Now, I know what you're thinking. Brother Black, that is just absurd. I mean, that is just totally ridiculous. How in the world did you ever come up with an illustration that lame? Well, I'll tell you what. Folks that somehow think they're going to heaven and they don't know the way, they're not getting there. There's a mansion for them. But if they don't know the way, it's just about as absurd as you paying a builder to build you a house and you don't know where it's located.